Will you pray with me, friends? Our God, this day, as we look to you for the strength and the courage, the faith and the confidence to surrender ourselves to you, to offer ourselves to the call you have placed before each one of us and before this congregation, both this day and every day. God, open our hearts to your word in these moments, that we might surrender our lives to the joy of serving you in this world. Amen. Thank you, Drew and Nolan and Paul, just again for leading us so faithfully in worship. I hope you can feel the power of the Holy Spirit in your presence, friends, as I know I can feel that presence in my heart. And I'm imagining all of us worshiping together, some in our cars, some in our homes, some on our phones, some on TVs. It strengthens us and empowers us to imagine one another gathered up together for God. And our friends, as we take some time this morning to consider these beautiful words, this lovely speech that King David has offered to God in front of the people of Israel, as he reminds them of how faithful God has been throughout the ages, as he names so clearly and yet so poetically that all we have is a gift from God, that God is the source of every good thing. You know, I find that in hearing these words today, I am equal parts comforted at this reminder of God's gracious provision. And yet, I am also challenged in all the right ways by the joyful determination of David and the people of Israel to respond so wholeheartedly to God. I am comforted at this naming of how great and powerful and wonderful God is, because to be quite honest with you, this first month of 2021 has been incredibly difficult and disorienting at best. It has been catastrophically violent and unjust at worst for a good many people in this world. If you read the e-news this week, then you also know that for me and my family, it's been an uncertain and emotional time, as my dear father has been in and out of the hospital quite unexpectedly, and we are naturally worried. We are naturally concerned about him, and so I am admittedly even more tender-hearted in these days. The result, again, is that I find that I am not only needing to hear about God's goodness, but I am simply grateful for any and every opportunity to be reminded of our good, good Father God, who has created, redeemed, and sustained God's people throughout the ages. Four separate times in these 10 verses of 1 Chronicles, David praises God for being the source of all that we have, of all that we are, of everything in heaven and on earth. And as he reminds the people of Israel back then and us now of the strength and honor of the power and provision of the abundance and the stability of this God who loves all of God's creation so. Well, I don't know about you, but I find that when I hear those reminders, something within me shifts. When we sing the songs we've sung this morning that give voice to that same goodness of God, somehow a little bit of tension and anxiety begin to release. I breathe in God's goodness as we did at the beginning of this service. I breathe in God's strength and presence, God's power and peace, and my heart rate steadies, and my body is somehow made more strong. And in simply hearing and being reminded that God is with us, even and especially in this first month of 2021, I find tremendous comfort that perhaps I didn't even know I needed until I read these beautiful words from the book of Chronicles. And almost immediately after that comfort comes, I also find this renewed energy to put towards that tremendous challenge and engaging call of God to be intentional, to be available, to be overjoyed as David and the people of Israel are in this scripture, to be wholeheartedly attentive and excited to respond to God's call, to build whatever temple it is that God is calling me, is calling us to build together in these challenging days. And so, for the next few moments, I want to invite us to focus in on both the comfort and the call of the scripture. Because I believe they are a gift to us in this season of life in which we find ourselves, the reminder of God's goodness and grace, the call to be an active part of that goodness and grace. This comfort and this call are the revival we need as we look to God to build us up stronger than ever in these days. Amen. Okay, I can't hear you say amen. So since you're not actually here in the building with me, honk your horn, say an amen out loud. Type it in the comments if you too are needing the reminders of this comfort and this call. So let's remember again. Pastor Sheila shared with us last week that First Chronicles was written to help God's people, to help them rediscover their roots in a disorienting time, to remember how God had been there for them throughout their history. She went on to tell us that in verses 1 through 10 of the scripture passage, the chronicler is creating excitement. The chronicler is giving voice to the change that is in the air as the people transition from King David to King Solomon, as they would look to transition from meeting in the tabernacle tent to meeting in the holy temple that they themselves have just committed to build together. This is a big change. This is a big transition in the life of these people. And the chronicler speaks to this moment in such an amazing way. And as the people unite around David to do this thing that the Lord has called them to do, to build God's temple, to bless and empower a new king, to shift from one way of being in the world to another, friends, let us not miss the significance of this moment for this people. We all know the flexibility and adaptability it takes to reorient oneself in these days, don't we? And to reorient one's entire community or nation into a new way of being would be significant for anyone, and yet for the people of Israel in particular, those who have been through a significantly traumatizing past and a not-so-perfect present, their wholehearted devotion and generosity to God is even more profound and inspiring than we might presume at first glance, right? Because it's important to remember that these dear ones of God are not those who have come from lifestyles of comfort, from extravagant power or privilege or easy lives. No, these are the people of God. Those whom the scripture story tells us all about. When we read their story, we learn the good, the bad, and the ugly of this precious and dear called people of God. This assembly of Israelites to whom David speaks in this passage, friends, they have known deep pain and struggle. They have known enslavement and deliverance. They have experienced wanderings and idolatry in the desert, faithfulness and faithlessness in the land, and most recently a whole lot of violence and war, so much so that God tells David that he is not to build God's temple himself because he has too much blood on his hands, but rather that this work would be given to his son Solomon, whom David will crown in the closing verses of chapter 29. These are significant times for the people of Israel. So in verse 10, when David calls the Lord the God of our ancestor Israel, and when in verse 15 he says, to be sure we are like our ancestors, immigrants without permanent homes, when in verse 18 he names the ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, we cannot help but be reminded of both the exceeding pain and yet the profound hope of the Israelite people throughout their history and even up to this very moment. So as David gives some voice to that painful, imperfect past, it seems he is also giving fuller voice to how miraculous it is that he and the people find themselves in the moment they are in now. Even with all the struggle and pain they have known, somehow they are able to recognize the presence of God with them all along the way. And that presence, that comfort from the reminder of God's presence with them, has the life-transforming capacity to open up the heart of David and the people of God to joyfully give all they have back to God, to name that all they are, all they have is God's in the first place. And so despite the struggle and the pain of the past and the present, they are yet able to claim the joy of God's presence with them in the moment. Empowered by the comfort of God, they can joyfully respond with whole hearts to the call of God. In verses 16 and 17, David says, Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided to build you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand and belongs to you. David goes on to say, I have freely given all these things with the highest of motives, and now I have been delighted to see your people here offering so willingly to you. And so it seems that the comfort of God's presence with the people of Israel is vital in empowering them to embrace with joy and with whole hearts the call God has before them in this moment, to build God's temple, to celebrate Solomon's coming reign, and to shift into this whole new way of being in the world around them. Empowered by the comfort of God, they can joyfully respond with whole hearts to the call of God. And friends, as we are working our way through this scripture, you know, I pray you can feel your own heart opening to consider that same notion. How has God comforted and empowered us in the past? How is God empowering us to joyfully respond even now with our whole hearts to the call of God in the present? For as our passage sort of draws to a close, you know, David seems to know that merely rehearsing God's presence and goodness will not be enough one-time comfort to sustain the constant call of God. Right? Because we always have to root ourselves in the comfort of God's presence so that when God calls us to a new task, when God calls us to a new thing, and trust me, God will, God always does, when that call comes, we want to be able to respond joyfully with our whole hearts to each new call in each new season of life. This is effectively David's prayer to God in verse 18 when he asks God to constantly direct the hearts of the people of God and to give Solomon that wholehearted devotion in keeping God's commands. David, it seems, is praying for both the present call to build God's temple and all the other calls that God will speak into the hearts of Solomon and the people of God in seasons of life yet to come, when they are empowered by the comfort of God, they can joyfully respond with their whole hearts to the call of God. So, friends, I have to ask you this day, Do you think the same could be true for us? I mean, if we too are empowered by the comfort of God, is it possible that we too could joyfully respond with our whole hearts to the call of God? If you think that could be true, then I want to encourage you to go on and type yes in the comments right now that yes, you believe that when we are empowered by the comfort of God, yes, we can joyfully respond with our whole hearts to the call of God. Because in this holy mess of 2021, as we consider the chronicler's story of these very imperfect yet very faithful children of God, I cannot help but wonder in these very challenging times we are in, what God could do, what God could build, what holy work God might call God's people to in these days if our whole hearts are joyfully open to what God is doing in our midst. If we could remember all God's goodness and grace, if we could speak it out loud to ourselves, to one another, to anyone who needs to hear of this faithful God who loves us so, who loves us all, this ever-present God who never gives up on messy human us, but who calls us constantly and equips us always to be active, intentional, wholeheartedly determined children and servants of God in this world. What if our whole hearts were filled with the comfort and the joy of God's presence, and we lived like we really believed that all we have, that all we are, is all gift from God? Can you imagine what God could do in our hearts, in our community, and in our world? Friends, this is a joy-filled, hard, and holy call before us now and in these days to look for every opportunity to hear and to speak God's goodness and grace, to get into some good trouble and joy-filled work for justice and peace, to fill ourselves with the stories of Scripture and the stories of our own lives where we have responded to God's call in the past, empowered to live into God's call in the present. I want you to know, Cokesbury Church, that you have many stories to tell of God's presence and call in your midst. Throughout this pandemic and after Hurricane Sally, you have stepped up in creative and joy-filled ways. We have adjusted to online worship, to outside worship, back to inside worship, small groups on Zoom, children's ministry on Facebook Live, sermon by phone, a growing congregational care team, new service opportunities, justice in our community, and more. And what is exciting to me is the fact that I do see you all naming God's goodness and God's grace in our midst. And as you are filled with the love and care of God, you seem more than empowered to joyfully respond to whatever the next call of God might be for this congregation to share God's love and grace with this world. Finally, friends, again, you know, if you read your e-news this week, then you know that I got some really joyful news that the Board of Ordained Ministry is recommending me for ordination as an elder in full connection to the Alabama West Florida Annual Conference. And of course, this comes after much work over the course of many years, and you all have just been such an incredible support and encouragement to me and my family throughout it all. I am humbled, honored, and overjoyed by your support and by this news. And yet, what I really want to share with you is that throughout my ordination paperwork, which is unfortunately quite extensive, there are so many examples of how this church helped me from a very young age to hear God's call in my life and empowered me to trust that God could equip me to respond to that call. So that last week, in the middle of an extra challenging time, as I was writing this sermon, going back and forth to the hospital, trying to keep up with my sweet family, our dear church, events in our community and world, there were some moments where I would begin to feel quite overwhelmed. What comforted me was not only taking in that deep breath of God's presence, but was simply reading and remembering God's story of love and grace that I experienced growing up in this congregation. And friends, that comfort and reassurance helped empower me in that Board of Ordained Ministry interview to give true and authentic voice to who God has created and called me to be in ministry this day and every day. And I am profoundly grateful. Friends, when we are empowered by the comfort of God, we can joyfully respond with whole hearts to the call of God. So as we move into some time of response this day of song and prayer, this day, as we think about what it looks like to live faithfully in this world and in these hard times, I want to invite you to think as well about how God has comforted and empowered you in the past. What way has God made for you? What light in darkness has God been for you? And how might God be empowering you to joyfully respond with your whole heart to the call of God in the present? We have the joy-filled opportunity to be an active part of God's goodness and grace in this world. So may God's comfort and call be the revival we need as we look to God to build us stronger than ever in these days. May we offer our whole hearts to the call of God on our lives. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.